This morning in our service, we were in 2 John. And if you noticed in those last couple verses in 2 John, we crossed the concept of, oh, that looks good, ice pack.
You want one?
Yes. No, I better not. Okay, don't get me sidetracked. So in those last two verses we looked at in 2 John, we crossed this concept of walk and walking. And as we went by, I mentioned, you know, walk is how we go about our business, how we conduct ourselves. And so let me just read these two verses, because we're going to pivot off of this word this afternoon and just survey through some things. And so back in 2 John, verse 5, here the apostle said, "Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I am writing a new commandment unto you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we should love one another." And he says, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments." Now let me just make a comment here. Commandments, don't make the mistake and try and plug in 10 commandments here with the new commandment to the church. You can't do that by the context. We've looked at a couple places where you can see it's used in the singular and the plural. This is all going back to the new commandment. There can be considered several parts to it. So don't try and mix law and grace. That's, some would try and do that here. But you know, that we walk after his commandments, that we order our lives, the details of our lives, according to his commandments. Now, this is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, and this is, you should walk in it, going back to the idea that we love one another. You should order your lives in it. And so this word for walk, it's a Greek compound word, peri. Pateo. And I'm just going to survey some things about this word. Now, peri has it's a preposition that has the root idea to about or around, surrounding, and then pateo, to walk. And so you can see where, you know, I think of the Australians who have a term, you know, you go on a walkabout. and that's kind of, this is a walkabout, but this is how you conduct yourselves, how you go about your business, how you order the things or the details of your lives. You know, how do you do that? That relates back to how you walk. Now, as Christians, how we go about the details of our business, as Christians, should be a lot different than how we formerly went about the details of our lives as unbelievers. And so that's what we're going to do today, is we're going to survey this word, because it's used many times of Christians, and how we should be ordering the things concerning our life, the business of our life. And so we'll do that. And the one thing I would just have you make a mental note as we go through, as we survey these things, you know, just, you know, be thinking to yourself, can I do this? And then the answer is yes, you can. But how can you do this? It's what we'll find is all these terms, or all of these illustrations that we'll survey through, we can only do it through the provisions of grace. So this, you can't walk as a Christian in the manner that we will survey through in and of your own strength. That's not going to be meeting the criteria. And so let's pray, and we're going to start off looking at some things about how we formally walked before we were saved first, and then we will survey through some of the verses that deal with how we should walk now. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. We're thankful for your word, and we're thankful for the encouragement that we received through it. And we just pray your spirit to illumine our thoughts to these things, and just may this hour be something that's glorifying to you, and we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. So let's go to Ephesians 4:7. Now here we're looking at some verses that are going to look at how we ordered the things concerning our life before we were saved. And so over in Ephesians 4:17, here Paul says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you no longer walk as Gentiles walk." And we see here something about their mind. It says in the vanity of their mind. How Gentiles walk. These wouldn't be believers. But there's something about their mind, their nous. And this word vanity, it's uselessness. And so so he says, no longer walk as Gentiles walk in the uselessness of their mind. And so prior to being saved, we could say that our minds were useless in regards to spiritual things, and in regards to doing anything that was pleasing in God's sight. And you can see, if we went on in this verse, we can see having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their heart. And we see, giving themselves, the works of the flesh in verse 19. There's a walk involved there, a way of ordering one's life, the way people can conduct themselves. And so let's go, we're here in Ephesians, let's go over to Ephesians 2:2. This is a good place where we can see prior to salvations, believers would have been walking or ordering their lives according to the age of the world system and according to the ruler of the authority of the air. Those would have been the standards of measurements for how, as unbelievers, they would have been ordering their lives. And so where in times past you walked according to not the course, but the age of this world, the age of this world system. We're talking about the present evil age here, and the world system has a prominent role and place in this present evil age. It has standards. And then we also see measured by the prince of the power of the air. That's just the ruler of the authority of the air. That's how we were formerly ordering the details of our lives, by these two standards of measurement. And we see the ruler of the authority of the air is the spirit that now is operating or working in the sons of disobedience, not the children, but the sons. And it says, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, just our conduct, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh, just the will, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so you can see, unbelievers, when we were unbelievers, or unbelievers are going to be characterized, if you will, by how they order the things around their life. And now, believers, we can potentially still do that. Over in Colossians 3, we have a reference in 3:7, in Colossians 3:7. It says, in the which or among whom also you walked sometime when you lived in them. Talking about you lived in these things, these works of the flesh. But now we don't have to. So if we back up into verse 5, you can see the exhortation to mortify or just put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, just we'll just say passion, evil lust, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So we have these works of the flesh. For which things the wrath of God comes on, not the children, but the sons of disobedience. In the which, on whom you also walked some time or formerly when you lived in them. And so here you see, looking at a former walk, but now you see a new potential, a new potential. We can put to death, therefore, you know, these works of the flesh because of the provisions of grace. And so now as believers, we have a different way in which we should walk, in which we should order our lives. And so this is what I wanted to survey. And so let's start off and on how the Christian should walk. I'm not going to hit all of these. I didn't even write down my stats. I didn't bring that sheet with me of my stats for walk, but we're just going to cover some of them. But let's go to Romans 13:13. And so you can see here that in contrast to walking, how we would have walked as unsaved, you know, in the works of the flesh, you know, doing the strong desires of the flesh, here we see in Romans 13:13, it says, let us walk honestly. And so honestly, kind of the idea of honestly, this word has the concept of what's becoming or proper. And so let us walk properly or becomingly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and lasciviousness, not in strife, it says in envying, it's just zeal. So you got these works of the flesh. These things are not going to be becoming or proper for a Christian. He says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions or just a thought beforehand for the flesh to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so we do not, as Christians, want how we go about the things of our life, how we go about our business, to be reflecting the flesh, the sin nature. See, we can see that as we go on, but let's go. We'll look at three here that look at the believer walking in a worthy manner. Worthy. And so the idea of worthy in the Greek, it has the idea of, think of a balance scale. And so we're to walk in a worthy manner, in balance with something. And so each place will have something. It'll have our walk on one side of the balance scale, and it's going to have something else on the other side of the balance scale. And so that'll be these next three. So let's go to Ephesians 4:1 first. Ephesians 4:1. And so therefore, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling, not the vocation, but the calling wherewith you are called. And so walk worthy of the calling. This calling is your call to salvation. You're told to walk worthy, in balance. So you have calling on one side, your calling to salvation on one side of the scale, and you're going to have your walk, how you go about ordering the things concerning your life on the other side of the scale. And here the exhortation is to walk in balance with that. Your walk should be in balance with the other. And so this is where I would encourage you to think about, well, how are you going to do that? You can't do it from the flesh. You can't do it from your own strength. And so, you know, that's where, you know, doing a little survey like this, it just reminds you of the potential. But then it should hopefully also remind us of the dependence that we have on the provisions of grace to be able to walk in this way, in this manner. Let's see. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And we'll look at verses 9 and 10. Okay, so the verse we want is 10, but I'm going to back up to verse 9 just for context. And so Paul in Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease praying for you and just desire or asking in order that you might be filled with a full experiential knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. That you might walk worthy. And so we went back to verse 9 because there's some things there that that are important to be able to balance the scale. When the Lord is on the one side of the scale and our walk is on the other side. And so that you might walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, just into everything pleasing. You know, the idea of pleasing him. Being fruitful in every good work and growing in the full experiential knowledge of God. And we could go on here, but that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Fully pleasing him. It's possible. But only for the spiritual Christian. Only by the provisions of grace. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. But it's kind of a mid-sentence, so let me back up to verse 11. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy, or just in a worthily manner of God, just worthily of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. And so that you would walk worthy of God. And we see that they're worthy of God. He has done something. He's called you into his kingdom and glory. Let's see, 1 Thessalonians, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:1. It says, furthermore, then, we not beseech, we'll just translate this as, this is Aristotelian, by the way. But we ask you, brethren, and we exhort you in the Lord Jesus, I'm going to translate that by as in, we exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you have received from alongside us, the of us is para, from alongside. Kind of the ellipsis of the idea is how you received instruction. As you have received instruction from alongside of us, how you ought to walk. How you should order the details of your life. How you should go about the business as a Christian. So how you ought to walk and to please God. And so that came through instruction through the word. So you would abound more and more. And so there we see Paul making reference to, you know, their instruction of how a believer ought to walk. You know, and this is one of the things we see in surveying this word, is we do see a lot of instruction and a suggestion of how we should go about ordering our lives. If we go back to Romans chapter 6:4, we can see that as Christians, because we've been baptized into Christ, we've been baptized into his death, and we and so we're co-buried with Christ because we have this position in Christ. And so in Romans 6:4, it says, therefore, we are co-buried with him through the baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so we should walk in this newness of life that we have because we're in Christ. So, yes, we've been baptized into Christ, so we've in Christ we died with him. That death is, we died to the sin nature. We've been co-buried with him, but we've also been co-raised with him according to the opinion of the glory of the Father. And so now we can order our lives in this newness of life. And so this newness of life that God has imputed to us, we can be going out our business as Christians in light of or walking, ordering the details of our life in this newness of life. It's all grace. It's grace. We can see, you know, if we want to break this down, you know, this newness of life would relate to living free from the sin nature, by the way, resurrection life, you know. So if, you know, counting yourself dead into the sin nature, so to have resurrection, you have to have death, right? And so to live free from the sin nature, we have to count ourselves dead into the sin nature. That's how God the Father counts us, to have died to the sin nature. So we can count ourselves dead to the sin nature, and then if we're truly dead, then we can also count ourselves alive unto God in Christ Jesus. You know, that Holy Spirit that indwells the believer, he takes up the battle with the sin nature. And so if we go over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, and we see this walk by the Spirit. And when you think about that, you know, be ordering the details of your life by the Spirit. You got a lot of other distraction and influences out there that'll tell you how to organize your life. You know, what to do next or in this situation or that situation. You know, don't forget you have the Holy Spirit, and you can You can order the details of your life by the Spirit. Allow him to take up the battle with the sin nature. And then also he can lead you, by the way. He can lead you. And so, but in Galatians 5:16, Paul says, this I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill. And the double negative in the Greek, you shall never ever fulfill or bring to completion the lust from the flesh. See, the Holy Spirit never loses the battle with the flesh if we allow him to take care of it. It's when we're trying to take on the flesh that the flesh wins out. And so, but when you walk by the Spirit, by means of the Spirit, you shall never ever bring to completion the strong desires from the flesh. And so walk by the Spirit. Now, if we go back over to Romans in chapter 8, you know, this verse is important because we have the term walk mentioned in Romans 8:4. But here in Romans 8:5, this walking is connected to how we frame our mind, how we frame our mind. And so let's read Romans 8:4. But let me read it just for context to see if we put this together. Let's read 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, talking about resurrection life, by the way, in Romans 8:2. So for the law, think of law here as the principle. You know, like the law of gravity. It's a principle. So for the law, or the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law, or the principle of the sin and death. Now in verse 4, it says that the righteousness concerning the previous mentioned law might be fulfilled by us, who are not walk, but who are walking. We're not walking according to the flesh, but rather according to the Spirit. So we're ordering our lives according to the Spirit. Now we see something in verse 5. It says, for they that are being measured by the flesh, I'm going to retranslate that are after. We could translate it according to, but for they that are according to the flesh, or are just being measured by the flesh, they do reflectively think the things from the flesh. But they that are not after, but according to or measured by the Spirit, they reflectively think the things from the Spirit. And so, anyway, we can see, in putting this together, the importance of walking measured by the Spirit is key to being able to live on the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The Spirit is an important component in that Romans 8:2, in living resurrection life. Now, let me go back to Ephesians. In Ephesians 5:8, we know as unbelievers, we were formerly darkness. You know, when you think of darkness and light in Scripture, usually as the dealing with the concept of God's life being manifest. And in Ephesians, let's see, where am I here? 5:8. In Ephesians 5:8, it says, for you were formerly darkness. You know, when we were unsaved, there was no manifestation of the life in God, of God's being seen in our activity. So you were formerly times darkness. You're just sometimes you're just formerly darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. And then we see walk. The idea of order your lives as born ones of light. And so as similar to just born ones. And so walk, order your lives as born ones of light. Over in Ephesians 5:15, here the believer is reminded, as here Paul just says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Let's change that translation. Just see then that you walk accurately. You know, you walk, you order your lives accurately. You know, accuracy is important in a lot of things. I mean, I can think of sports and sporting things. You know, accuracy is important. You know, hunting. You know, nobody wants a firearm that's inaccurate. Accuracy is important, right? Well, when it comes to the Christian life, accuracy is important. And so here we see the strong suggestion to see that you walk accurately. You order your life accurately. Not as, now the King James says fools. I mean, I like the word fools is fine, but the word that they translated fools is a Greek word for wisdom with an apocryphative on it. It's an adjective. It's just a, not as ones without wisdom. I just think of wisdom as knowledge that's for application. And so, you know, walking, ordering your lives as somebody without knowledge for application, that would be an inaccurate walk for a Christian. Because we've got a lot of information of how we are to walk. And so it says not as fools or ones without wisdom, but rather as wise ones. Again, the adjective, ones with knowledge for application. And then we see that ultimately we're going to see that we're going to come back to understanding what the will of the Lord is. It says redeeming the time, verse 16, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise. Now he uses a different word here in verse 17 for unwise. This is the word for a frame of thought with an alpha privative. And so wherefore, be not without a frame of mind, but rather understanding. The idea of understanding, just putting together what the will of the Lord is. And so, you know, having some understanding of what the will of the Lord is pretty important if you want your walk to be accurate. And so see then that you walk accurately. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:7. And I'll back up to verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk not by faith, but through faith. So here, I mean, if you think about the little reminder that we made reference to before we started, how are you going to do this? For we walk through faith. But you have to have faith first to be able to order your life, the details of your life through faith, taking God at his word, taking the promises from God and counting them to be so. It says, for we walk through faith, not through sight. That's, you have to be spiritual Christian, in other words. And then you order your lives based upon taking God at his word and not so much on what you see. God's word and promises, in other words, overrule, have precedent over what we see. We can trust. Now, it's interesting when you think about, way back I read a book on magicians. And one of the things they've learned about the eyesight of man is our eyes can play tricks on us. Because our minds have adapted to fill in the blanks. I don't know if you've ever seen that little cup game where, you know, it's a kind of a street parlor game where they have a marble and there's three cups and they move the marble around. And you can think that you saw the marble go under a certain cup, but it's actually your mind playing a trick on you because your mind will fill in the blanks. And so you can't always trust what you see. Anyway, when I think of this, for we walk through faith, not through sight. You know, our sight can play tricks on us. Sometimes the brain will fill in the blanks and you'll actually think you saw something that didn't happen. It's just with the way our minds can work. And magicians have known about this, and a lot of the tricks that they, the illusions that they perform is based upon this, the way the mind will work and fill in blanks. So anyway, we walk through faith. You have to be spiritual. Let's see, going back to Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 10. I like this one because, you know, we should walk, we should order our lives in the good works that God has previously prepared. You know, that's a good reminder. You know, there's a lot of people that they may order their lives on good works, but are they the works, the good works that God previously prepared? Or are they the good works that they've conjured up that they want to be doing? You know, it's a good question. God knows the answer to that. But we can be ordering our lives by the good works that God has previously prepared. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has previously prepared that we should walk in them. The ones that he's previously prepared. We're going to have to be spiritual to be able to recognize which ones those are. If we're left up to our own, you know, and the carnal zeal, we might be out there, you know, doing who knows what. it might not have anything to do with what God has previously prepared for us. Anyway, so that's important. Let's go over to Colossians 2:6. And here Paul says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. It's interesting, as you have received. How did you receive him as the Lord? Well, through faith. But and then the title Lord, though, is the divine master, the head of the body. And he says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Order your lives in him. I mean, that's such a practical suggestion for the Christian to be ordering the details of our lives in him. You know, talking about our position in Christ. Seeing ourselves there, and then you see in the next verse, you know, connected back to our position in Christ, he says, having been rooted and being built up in him and being established by the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And so walk ye in him. You know, order your lives in him, in your position in Christ. Let me just go, I mean, there's more we could go, but we're just surveying through, just to tie this back into where we started in this morning's message, and then when we made reference to 2 John and verses 5 and 6 there, talking about walking in the new commandment, you know, to love one another. Let's go to Ephesians 5, 2. And so Ephesians 5, 1, be ye followers, or the idea of imitators of God, as dear children, as just beloved born ones. And walk in love. Walk in love. We could translate it by love, but walk, order your lives in love. Now, here we are going to see further clarification of something that was done by love. It says, so walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Just you, plural. And he has given himself on behalf of us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling favor. And so walk in love. We love because he first loved us. And so, you know, trying to tie all of this together, I think Ephesians 5:2 is a good reminder of that imperative to walk, to go about the business of your life in love. And so when we're talking love, of course, we're talking agape love, other-centered love, self-sacrificial love. We know that when we're loving God, we're loving the brethren. And so let's, we kept it to a devotional. And so let's go ahead and say, Father, thank you again for the day. We're thankful for the provisions of grace. We're thankful for the love that you've shown us by sending the Son who died on our behalf for our sins, and applying that work to us so that we could be in Christ and that Christ could be in us, and that we could have the potential to fulfill the new commandment, to love one another as he loved, and to have an experiential knowledge of you and the persons of the Godhead, that we live that out. And may we be those that are recognizing the privileges that we do have and the benefits we have by grace, and we will thank you in Christ's name. Amen.